Good evening. My name is Keith, and I'm an alcoholic. And my home group is Wednesday Night Big Book Study Group. My sobriety date is July 15th, 2003. I don't say that to brag. I say that to let the newcomer know that it is possible to stay sober one day at a time, continuously, without picking up another white chip. Relapse is not a requirement. You know, we love you if you come back, whatever. But so tonight we're on step three, and just got to tell you, I was very disappointed last week that I didn't have to do this, man. I was heartbroken. No, not really. But yeah, so tonight we're on step three, and it means a lot. It means a different meaning than it did when I first got here. You know, we're it's like the biggest thing in my life today is step three, given who I was when I got here. And you know, we read about how it works, you know, at every meeting, at a lot of meetings. And at my home group, we don't cover how it works until we get to how it works. But if you, I was sitting thinking today, like, I don't try to plan what I'm going to say up here. Like, I want to have an idea what I'm going to say, but I don't want to, like, sit here and script what I'm going to say. So I was thinking about it, and back when I first got sober, you know, like I said, at our meeting, we don't do how it works, but the guy used to do our meeting, John W., he started doing his big book study group, and we don't cover how it works till we get to how it works in the big book. And so when we got to it, you know, he would sit there and he'd say, like, this is how important, like, it's very important. Like, it is the program. Like, when you get to how it works, it's the instructions on recovery. And so we get to how it works, and then, you know, at every meeting they read them, and they get to the end of it, and they read the three pertinent ideas, right? And so he did this analogy about how it works, because people come into it, like, if it's a big meeting and stuff, and he's like, imagine, like, when people are reading how it works, this is what it looks like to him when he's at other meetings. Like, you know how you get on an airplane before you're about to take off, right? And, you know, they're getting you all seated in your seat and stuff, and you got the flight attendants up there, and you got three of them. You got the one in the first class, you got the one back there in the economy, and you got the one back there on the little microphone telling you, you know, this is what we do before we take off, with the little air mask, and you got the flotation devices, and you got the safety doors here. And while they're telling us that, everybody's doing their own thing. They're texting, they're on the phones, mom, the flight's taking off, nobody's paying attention. Well, with how it works, next time you go to a meeting, look at that, look around the room and watch what people are doing and reading how it works. It's the same thing. Nobody's paying attention. Now, mind you, if you're on that Malaysia flight that disappeared 2 months ago, and they start giving you directions about the planes going down and stuff, you're paying attention. Like, you're, like, listening and you're paying attention because you know the plane's about to crash. This is what the third step is like, and how it works is like, it's the instruction. So if I'm dying when I get here, I should be paying attention. And just notice that next time you're at a meeting and they're reading how it works. So we talk about the three pertinent ideas, right? And you hear it at every meeting. That we're alcoholics and could not manage our own lives. Well, for the last 2 weeks I've been covering that. I'm an alcoholic and I know exactly what that means. I don't have to go to a speaker meeting to hear my story. I don't have to listen to a war story, none of that. The information is in this book. Got the doctor's opinion, more about alcoholism, there's a solution, and we relate and build story. That's it. You know, I don't have to, like I said, go to a speaker meeting. So I get that. I get, A, that I'm an alcoholic, right? My life is in the toilet. B, that no human power could ever relieve me of my alcoholism. So now they're talking about God. And Bill mixes no words about this God thing. Like, he doesn't mince words about God. It's all about God. Even before we get deeper into the book. So no human power can relieve my alcoholism. Again, I covered that. And then step two, it says, came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. I'd be lying to you if I said I believed when I got here, because I didn't. But last week, I gave you some examples of, during my 11 years, how God showed up, and I seen God in action. But I didn't believe when I got here. I just knew that I was dying. And I knew that there was a way out. And God put these men in my life that were armed with the facts about themselves in this program. And I talked about that, you know. I got with these guys who were all about the book. No sugarcoating it, no, there, it's going to be all right, make your 90 and 90. No, here's a program of action right here, and do you want it? So I don't believe that when I get here, but I know I'm dying, and but I'm believing that they believe, right? And I'm putting my faith in them. So right then and there, I'm turning my will and my life over to these gentlemen at the point, at that time. And as small as it was, you know, for me, that was hard because I come in here, I'm 35 years old. I'm a former Marine. I got all this macho stuff going on in my head. I ran my life my way for a certain way, self-will and riot. And here I am turning my life over to the care of two country dudes from Florida. 50, yeah. One's 50 and one's 70 and shit. So basically, I'm turning my will over to these guys. And amazing enough, I'm in the sober house with these guys. And like I said before, I didn't come right in and jump right in this deal. I didn't like dive right into AA. I do what a lot of us do. We come in halfway house, treatment center or whatever, and I just comply. You know, I make my bed, I do my chores, I look for a little jobby job, but I'm not really into this thing. I'm not seeking this thing like a dying man would seek a life preserver. And so this goes on and on and on and on. So 6 months into the deal, I'm still, and life is still not getting any better. Only thing is I'm not drinking. I'm not drunk. And I can't mask that pain. So we get to step three, you know. And then it says, see, God could and would if you were sought. Again, Bill's hitting me like, you know, he's not sugarcoating it. He's telling me God could and would if you were sought. And step three, I'm not buying again. You know, at our house, we do this meditation before our little meeting. And we go back to our last 72 hours out there. And I remember, like, I know where I was. I know the hotel I was in. I know how I felt. So I'm thinking about that. And there's no human solution is going to fix that. And so I'm believing what they're telling me. So I say, okay, I'm in. And he says, we'll see. But now the funny thing about step three is like, when I say I'm going to turn my will, and again, I had to have good teachers because I don't know what that means, like will. Like, what am I turning, what is will? Well, in the context of this book, will is my thoughts. I'm going to turn my thoughts and my life is my actions over to the care of God as I understand them. Well, I don't understand nothing, so I'm turning my will and my life over, like I said, Joe and John. And then at our house, the 12 and 12, we use it. It's a very great sponsorship tool. And there's some good information in the 12 and 12 on step three. So on page 39, right? So I'm in the house. I'm abstinent. I'm not recovered. But on page 39, it says something like this. So how exactly can the willing person continue to turn his will and his life over to a higher power? He made a beginning when we seen he commenced to rely upon AA for the solution for his alcohol problem, which I did. It says, by now, though, the chances are he has become convinced that he has more problems than alcohol. Imagine that. Because when I got here, I just thought my problem was drinking and drugging. Not the case. So 99 is not going to fix that. You know what I mean? It's not going to fix what's going on besides this drinking and drugging thing. It says, and that some of these refuse to be solved by the sheer personal determination and courage he can muster. They simply will not budge. They make him desperately unhappy, threaten his newfound sobriety. Now listen to this, and if you can relate to this. Our friend is still victimized by remorse and guilt when he thinks of yesterday. Bitterness still overpowers him when he broods upon those he still envies or hates. So I'm in the halfway house, there's guys working, they got cars. I'm jealous of that crap. 99 is not going to fix that. His financial insecurity worries him sick. I don't know about you, but I didn't come in here with a pot of gold, you know what I mean? All my scorecards are at zero. And he panics to think over all the bridges of safety and alcohol burned behind him. How then shall he straighten out that awful jam that cost him the affection of his family and separate him from them? His lone courage and unaided will cannot do it. Surely he must not depend upon somebody or something else. At first, that somebody is likely to be his close AA friend or his sponsor. He relies upon the assurance that his many troubles, now made more acute because he cannot drink alcohol to kill the pain, can be solved too. Of course, the sponsor points out that our friend's life is still unmanageable even though he is abstinent. They say sober here, but you're not sober Thursday. And that after all, only a bare start of the AA's program has been made. More sobriety brought about the admission of alcoholism and by the attendance at a few meetings is a very good deed start. But it's bound to be a far cry from permanent sobriety and a contented, useful life. That's just where the remaining steps of the AA program come in. Nothing short of a continuous action upon these as a way of life can bring about the much desired result. So listening to that, I'm like, man, okay, so I'm undrunk and I got all these problems. And you're telling me God can solve that. Okay. Right? And so, like I said before, I'm not dependent on God now because I don't believe in this God thing. Like I said before, God to me was like Santa Claus. You know, I talked to God when I was in trouble. My three DUIs, get me out of that, Lord, and I won't drink again. You know what I mean? He got me out of that, and I started taking my will back over. So we get to the sober house, and this is what happens, right? I'm abstinent. I get on that couch. I say, Joe, I'll do anything. My life is in a toilet. I'll do anything. He goes, we'll see, Keith. Well, he says, Keith, you got to make some sacrifices. I'm like, what are you talking about? Sacrifices, Keith. Well, first sacrifice I want you to make, Keith, is no women. Whoa. Whoa, Joe. What does that got to do with my sobriety? Right, he explained to me like this, anything I put in front of my recovery, I'm going to lose it, right? Then Keith, you got to go out and get a job because I'm not going to take another check from your mother. Wait a minute, isn't this all about you making money, lining your pockets, right? No. So I'm like, okay, whatever. So I get into the halfway house, I'm beaten, broken, you know, battered, I'll do anything. Amazingly enough, though, 20, 30 days later, I start feeling a little bit better about myself. And I get the desperation disappears. So the stuff that I was going to do when I got there, I start negotiating and debating. And now, page 37 of the 12 and 12 is a perfect definition of relapse for a newcomer. And we read this to our guys all the time. And it says it's something like this. It says, but the moment our mental or emotional, and we at our house had sexual independence is in question, how differently we behave. How persistently we claim the right to decide all by ourselves just what we shall think and just how we shall act, right? I'm being a God. This is what I'm running the show. Oh, yes, we'll weigh the pros and cons of every problem. We'll listen politely to those who would advise us. But all the decisions will be ours to be ours alone. Nobody's going to meddle with my personal independence in such matters. Besides, we think there's no one we can surely trust. We are certain that our intelligence, backed by willpower, can rightly control our inner lives and guarantee a success in the world we live in. This brave philosophy wherein each man or woman plays God sounds good in the speaking, but it still has to meet the acid test. How well does it actually work? One good look in the mirror ought to be enough an answer for any alcoholic. And that's me when I got here taking my will back, right? I'm not turning anything over to God. And so for me, step three, like I said, when today it means much more. Like, when we get to step 11, we'll see what they're talking about as far as the promises go and how it correlates with step three. But every day when I get up in the morning, I'm turning my will and my life over to care of God's understanding. What's that look like? The book talks about how we were when we got here, right? Back in the old days when they did step three was you went upstairs with Bill W. or whoever it was, you got on your knees, you prayed to God to give your life to Jesus Christ, or you wasn't getting in Alcoholics Anonymous. Can you imagine if they did that today? Can you imagine if we came to A and they said, you got to get down on your knees in front of everybody and declare your life to Jesus? It wasn't happening, right? So it says, after the three pertinent ideas that we all chime along to at every meeting and stuff, it says, being convinced we were at step three, which is we decided to turn our will and life over to the care of God as we understood them. Just what does that mean and just what do we do? Then it goes on to talk about this selfishness, self-centered, egotistical, indignant, angry, blaming, fault, all that stuff, that's us when we get here, right? So then it says this, selfishness, self-centered, that we think is the root of all our troubles. Driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, self-pity, all these words he's using, 90-90 is not going to clear that. So if your sponsor's telling you, meeting makers make it, 90-90, run. Because it's all about God. You know, you hear people say, you know, you don't have to choose a God now, a doorknob could be your higher power, or the wind or the trees or some crazy shit. I mean, whoops. No. All that stuff I just described, the doorknobs aren't going to get rid of that. It just isn't, you know. What if that doorknob's locked? What am I going to do then? What if the wind stops blowing? What am I going to do then? No, it's all about God. If you have a problem with the God thing, think about this. How well has it been working for you? What do you got to lose, right? So it says, selfishness, self-centered, that we think is the root of our troubles. Driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, self-pity, we step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate. So we come back in here and we think, you know, these people are being cruel to us. They're just retaliating for the stuff I did to them all these years. Sometimes they hurt us seemingly without provocation, but we invariably find that at some point in the past, we have made decisions based on self, which later placed me in a position to be hurt. Now let's think about that. Based on self. Like everything I did back in the day was based on self. My motive was always for me. Driving drunk 3 times. I could have killed somebody 3 times, but it was all about me driving. You know, it's my privilege to drive. The geographical cures. Let me leave Rochester. Let me come down here. Not calling my mother for 7 years because I'm thinking I'm not hurting anybody but myself. I aged that woman 20 years. All about self. So listen to this. So our troubles we think are basically of our own making. They arise out of ourselves. And the alcoholic is the extreme example of self-will run riot, though he or she usually doesn't think so. Above everything, we alcoholics must be aware of this selfishness. We must, or it kills us. Listen to the words he used. It kills us. Who here knows somebody that has died as a direct result of drugs and alcohol? Raise your hand. Look around you. 99 is not going to fix that. It says, there often seems no way of getting rid of ourselves without his aid. His is capitalized. Many of us have had moral and philosophical convictions galore, but we cannot live up to them even if we like to. Neither could we reduce our self-centeredness much by wishing or trying on our own power. We had to have God's help. See, Bill's teeing it up for us, right? Back in We Agnostics, he said either God's everything or he's nothing. Either he is or he isn't. What's our choice to be? You don't have to believe in God right this second. Hell, if you don't like what I'm saying, go back out there and try some more controlled drinking, some more controlled crack smoking, whatever it is you do, you know, until you get beaten into a state of reasonableness. But it said we had to have God's help. That scared me. Like, God. Again, I look at the people around me. I look at the God I grew up with. I got this crazy aunt who thinks God's going to provide. She don't have to work. Don't have to do anything. Just pray to God. He's going to bring it to us. You know, if there's a God out there, why is all these people dying? Why is all these wars happening? You know, I'm just trying to think my way out of this thing. Not good. So here's the third step promises, or here's what the directions are. It says, this is the why and the how and the why of it. First of all, we had to quit playing God. It didn't work. Next, we decided that in the hereinafter drama of life, God was going to be our director. He is the principal. We are his agents. He is the father. We are his children. Most good ideas are simple, but this concept was a keystone of a new and triumphant arch through which, we passed to freedom. Now, right there, that's telling me, you know, I'm at that crossroad. You know, I came in here with a lot of good intentions, right? You hear people talk about that stupid joke about three frogs on a log or whatever. No, this is a much bigger decision than that. This decision that I'm making right here, and again, when I first got here, and I'm so new and I'm so raw to this thing, like the only thing I could do was, in step three, because up until this point, I haven't done anything. I haven't done any action. I haven't taken a look at anything. All I did was reflect and do some soul searching and stuff, but I haven't done anything. And then this decision I'm making right here, like I said, when I first got here, the decision was only that, for me, I was going to do the rest of the work. That was it. Because I couldn't buy what you're telling me about this God thing, but I'm just deciding, okay, my life sucks. I want something better. So that was my decision. Now, today, what step three looks like is totally different. Like, I know without a shadow of a doubt, we're talking about it in the car. Like, again, I don't go around talking about Jesus and God and all that stuff because to me, I think those are, you know, I can't say judge, but I think they're full of crap. You know what I'm saying? People, Jesus Christ this and Holy Mary and all that crap. But I know without a shadow of a doubt that the life I have today is because of God and my understanding. And I explained a couple instances last week. But the decision that we make in the third step when I'm new is I'm at that crossroad. I'm at that fork in the road, right? You got door number one, death, destruction, jails, institutions. Door number two, promises. Authenticity. Your word means something. It's not about the exterior stuff. You know what I mean? Like, awesomeness. So I'm making that decision just to do the rest of the work. And a lot of us get here and you know, you stay on step three for like months at a time. Like, what step are you on? I'm on step three. Really? How long have you been on step three? 2 months. Really? It's like, do you want your life to get better or not? So listen to this. Like, we hear these promises read at every meeting, and they're nine-step promises. They're the nine-step promises, and so people who don't know the book think that's the only promises in the book. And they're nine-step promises for a reason, because you don't get those promises we're talking about in nine-step until you do the work. right? So you hear somebody come in with 30 days, 60 days, and, you know, they're feeling a little bit better because, of course, you stop drinking and drugging, so life gets better. Get a little color back in your face. You go to a meeting. Little Susie's looking at you. Little Johnny's looking at you. Life is better, you know what I mean? Got a little jobby job. Life is good. And you hear them say, oh, the promises are coming true. The promises are coming true. No, the promises aren't coming true. You're just undrunk. You're just not medicating yourself right now. But listen to the third step promises. And again, when I read this when I first got here, I'm like, this is crap. Like, this is Pollyanna bull crap when I read this. When I'm new. Right? Because Joe was telling me, like, he's feeding me all this stuff about God and it's going to be good. And if I sat here and told you I believe what he was saying, I'd be lying to you. I just know I didn't want to feel like I felt when I got here. So we're going through this book, and you just read that about the doc, him being the director, and I'm his child and all this stuff. I'm like, here we go. Another one of those religious zealots and shit. So then he goes, Keith, look at these promises right here, right? It says, so when we took such a position, all sorts of remarkable things followed. We had a new employer, being all-powerful. He provided what we needed if we kept close to him and performed his work well. Now, I don't know what that's saying when I get here, right? That means nothing to me, nothing. So if you know, when I get here and I'm 3 months sober and I read that, I'm like, you're really shit, Joe. New employer being all-powerful, no way. Then it says, and performed his work well. What work is that? Again, I don't know. Established on such a footing, we become less and less interested in ourselves. Definitely not happening when I first get here. It's all about me. And our little plans and designs. More and more, we become interested in seeing what we could contribute to life. Not so. As we felt new power flow in and we enjoyed peace of mind, as we discovered we could face life successfully, as we become conscious of his presence, we began to lose our fear of today, tomorrow, and the hereafter. We were reborn. Now, to a newcomer, that sounds like Spanish to you. Like that sounds like total Pollyanna crap. But I can promise you this. Like, to me, today, that is like, that's huge. Like, it doesn't tell me I'm going to get my old life back. It doesn't tell me I'm going to get a brand new job, I'm going to get a car, I'm going to get the girl of my dreams, white picket fence. Doesn't tell me none of that. Given how I was before I got here, in that hotel room in Pompano, want to kill myself to that. And the cool thing is I haven't done anything yet, right? You read that stuff, that should give a newcomer hope, right? It should give us a little bit of hope. Like, man, if I do this work, that's possible. But for me, it wasn't, you know, it was like, I don't care about. Just teach me how to not drink and not feel like this. So that's awesome. So now it says we were at step 3. Many of us said to our makers, we understood him. And then you have the third step prayer. Now that, again, when you're new and you hear that, you're just like, that can't happen to you. So I talk about my experience with this step. And again, it goes back to step 11. Like, I was talking to this lady that I adore, and she's got like 22 years, and we were talking one day, and she told me, like, step 3 is her, like, the most important step of her life, right? Like, that is the step that sets it all up. That sets up for the rest of the work. So now you're telling me God is a new employer, right? But again, when I get here, it's all about me. It's all about me and my way of thinking. And what am I going to do? So now when I get to this third step prayer, you know, I God, offer myself to thee to build me and do me as I will. You know, I'm reading this and I'm new and I'm like, man, why do they keep shoving God down my throat, God down my throat, God down my throat? Well, back then they knew what was on the table. You know, the success rate back then was like 75 to 100%. Now it's at 3%. I wonder why. Because they don't talk about this stuff in meetings. You know, me and Alex spoke at a meeting yesterday at the one-on-one club. It was like, had to be like 200 people there. And the feedback we got was, you know, I never heard people talk about the steps in the book and God. And what are you talking about? What should you be talking about in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous? Like, that is the program. It's not the fellowship. It's all about God, right? It's all about this God that I acquired. So this third step prayer that they talk about, you know, God offered myself to build me and do me as I will. Relieve me of bondage of self that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. Right? And it talks about doing this step alone. And that's my prayer every morning. Like, do I do that perfectly? No, I do not. Like, I take my will back all the time. And what scares me about this God thing is, like, I've known people with 25 years, right? They're doing the deal for 25 years, and they start taking their will back, and they're relapsed now, and they can't come back. I'm going through something now that's been difficult, but it's not me personally, but still. And so this third step is like my lifeblood. It's like my lifeline today. Like, and I sit up here and I tell you that. And again, I was taught that I should be able to tell you about the God of my understanding without saying a word. Meaning, I should be able to tell you by my actions. Does the song match the dance? Am I doing this deal on a daily basis? Now, in the 11th step, which correlates so beautifully with the third step, you know, it says, when I'm agitated, I pause. You know, I ask God for direction. Like, when it talks about God being my new employer, like, I seek him like my life is on the line, which it is. And the third step also is teeing me up, right? Because I'm going to need God to go on with the rest of the work. Give me one second. It says, we found it very desirable to take the spiritual step with an understanding person, such as our wife, best friend, or spiritual advisor. But it's better to meet God alone than with one might must understand. The wording was, of course, quite optional, so long as we expressed the idea of voicing it without reservation, right? Only you know your heart when it comes to this God deal, if you're truly committed, if you're truly in or not. It says, this was only a beginning, though. If honestly and humbly you made an effect, sometimes a very great one, we felt it at once. That's a huge promise again. Like, there's promises thrown throughout this whole book, and people just want to sugarcoat the God thing. They want to come in here and pretend that it's not happening. Again, I'm going to correlate my life today with step three. So again, step 11 and step 3 go hand in hand. So it says step 11 suggests prayer and meditation when we shouldn't be shy on this matter. Again, when I first got sober, I didn't pray on my knees because I just thought that was fake for me, right? I'd be in my bed, I'd be laying back, and somebody told me one time, like, for me to get on my knees, I'm humbling myself to this God that I've not found. I do that. And it's all about me seeking this God thing, like I talked about a couple weeks ago. In my first 4 years of recovery, AA was my, let's say, so to speak, church, right? I found God in here, so I use AA only. But the past was still dictating my future because I refused to seek outside, like go anywhere else for this God thing. And I went to Calvary 4 years into the deal. I don't know if my buddy Mark remembers this, but he was with me the night Joe was at the 101 club and Russell was speaking, and I told the story how he got in my face because I didn't want to go to church because I didn't think I needed, like, his God. I'm thinking he wants me to have his God, right? And it wasn't, to me, it was him trying to force that down my throat, like the book is doing when I first get here. Like, to me, this was forcing it down my throat. But here I am 4 years sober. I know that it wasn't me doing it. I'm thinking it's AA and stuff. And so Joe gets in my face, and we have this knockdown drag outside the 101 club, and me and Marcus go to the casino. And I'm sitting there, and I'm character assassinating Joe, and again, the past is dictating my future, and I refuse to give in to the God thing, because I'm 4 years sober, but I don't think it's, like, God. I think it's AA and the 12 steps and all that stuff. So me and Mark are at the casino, and, you know, I'm killing Joe, like, oh, he's dead to me already. Like, I'm just killing this man. And Mark's co-signing for me. He's like, yeah, Joe's an asshole with all this stuff. And so I have a moment of clarity, and I go to church, and I go back to the house, and I tell Joe, you know what, I'll go back, and I'll go. So that's been my journey for the last 5 years. Like, that's how I start my day off. And I was taught that if I'm not growing, I'm going. Like, people who fail to enlarge their spiritual life go out. And that's what happens when people with time go out. Life becomes, you know, they let what AA gave them take them out, right? Life becomes more important. You know, I don't have time for that sponsee. I don't have time to go to church. I don't have time to come to a meeting. You know, can you speak? No, I cannot, Rachel. I just did it for you 2 months ago. I don't want to do this. You know, I talked about it last week. My God is so big. You know what I mean? Like, we were talking, me and Allie, and when I was sober for the first time in 10 months, I was sober and I was going home. And for me, the airport was a big place to drink. Like, layovers, perfect place to drink. Like, I'm in the bar, I'm praying for a 5-hour layover. Like, this will be good. Like, let it be a 5-hour layover. And I'm going home to make my amends. And I'm sitting in the airport, I'm in Charlotte at the airport, and I'm thinking, the thoughts are starting to come back now, right? I'm abstinent 10 months, I'm sober, but I'm going to make my first amends. And I'm in the airport, and I'm like, man, I'm in Charlotte, looking around, nobody will know. I could just have 2 or 3. And I'm sitting there, and I'm playing the tape through my head, like, okay, for the last 10 months, you haven't had a drink. You might not be an alcoholic, Keith. You know what I mean? I'm thinking all this craziness. And then I had a moment of clarity, and I prayed right there, like, Lord, please remove this thought. I'm on my way home to take care of business. I've always done this. And he did. Like, he did. And so, again, another example of my God working in my life. And again, I'm not even buying the God thing. I'm just like, I just knew, okay, I need to pray to something because of somebody. So I get home and I do that deal. And people are listening to me and they're talking to me and stuff. And, you know, I talked about it last week. This isn't easy for me getting up here doing this. You know, I don't know if I'm making sense to you guys. Again, it's not scripted. I'm not a motivational speaker. I'm not a step speaker. But I know that God has done for me what I could have never done for myself. And at the last time I did the steps with Rachel and James, you know, something happened to me normally that was, you know, in my past life wouldn't have been traumatic. It would just been like, whatever, you know what I mean? But I'm up in front of a room of 200 people and I go blank. My mind goes blank. Like, the worst feeling ever. Like, I felt naked. I felt naked in front of a room of 200 people. And I'm sitting there and, you know, you talk about you and God, right? It was me. It was 200 people in the room, but it was just me and God. So I put my head down. I can feel all the eyes on me. I'm sweating profusely. I'm looking around like, how do I get out of here? How do I get out of this room? And the sucky thing is that the exit was 100 yards that way. And this is how powerful God is. Like, and I think at that time, I was trying to, it was scripted, and I was trying to come out of the book, and I was trying to sound all prophetic and stuff. And I guess he knew that. And he was like, that's not you, Keith, so I'm going to do something about that. I think I'm going to shut her down right now. And that's what it felt like, because my mind just went, like, he had a black eraser. It's like, whoosh. So I'm sitting there, which seemed like a half an hour, and I'm just like, oh, God. And I could feel the eyes on me. And I'm thinking in my head, what am I going to say to Rachel and James? Like, you guys did this to me, and you embarrassed me. And, like, I wanted to kill them, literally. But I said a quick prayer, like, God, get me out of this, and I'll love you forever. Something I said. And it was amazing because something came over me, and like I said, I was trying to sound prophetic, But what came out of my mouth next was not prophetic. It was something like, I don't want to give you guys head or something. I don't want to give you head. And the whole room started laughing and stuff. So I closed the book. And I said, I just want to give you my heart. And God got me through it. But what the coolest thing was, right? Like, I'll never forget that. But the coolest thing about that situation was, like, you know, after the meeting, I'm in my head, I'm thinking, like, that was the worst thing that could ever happen. They used to Peter and Russell and Joe Bear and Stevie B, and that would have never happened to them. But there's a line of people standing in front of me. And I'm just like, I just want to leave. Like, I want to just crawl out and get the hell out of there. And I swear, every one of them had, the main message was that they had never seen something so real as far as God working right then and there. Like, they had an actual, people talk about God or whatever, but they saw the fear I had. It was like they saw God transform me right then in front of them, is what they were saying. And I was blown away by that. And I told Rachel, I said, I'm not coming back. I'm not coming back. But God had other ideas, you know what I mean? And that's how my God worked today, you know? He has done things, and again, not monetary or emotional or any of that stuff. It's like when I get in the jackpot or when I start, because I know when I take my will back. A couple instances, she's going to kill me for this, but she's a part of the journey, so sorry, baby. Keith takes his will back. So I'm going through this thing, and, you know, we have this thing where we say taking a stand for somebody. So Allie tells me the truth about a certain situation. Now, I don't want to hear the truth, so what do? I get defensive, and I come back at it real hard. This just happened last night, as a matter of fact. And
tell us more.
We had a great day together, went to my sponsor's house, we spoke at a meeting, I went to church, God's all in my life, everything is great. We get home and then this little thing happens. And she's sitting there and in a loving way, she's telling me the truth about a certain situation. And I don't want to hear it. And so I start, you know, F this and it's not my responsibility and blah, blah, all this shit. So I go outside and I'm sitting there and I'm cursing and I'm just in my head, like, who does she think she is? Blah, 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 all this stuff. And where we live at, it is like, it's an awesome place to meditate. Like, we have a patio with a little, what do you call that? A man-made pond and trees and stuff. So I'm sitting there and...
water.
Water, yes. God's creation. And I'm sitting there and I swear, like, normally I would have held that resentment. Like, I would have been like, who does she think she is? Doesn't she know? She has no idea. She doesn't understand. But no. I prayed to God. I said, you know, I prayed to give me love and tolerance, number one. And let me hear what she's saying without being judgmental and being defensive. Like, that never would have happened. Like, I would have gotten my car and left because I've done that before, too. We got into a fight. I dipped. I drove to Pompano from Delray. Went to Solutions at 11:30 at night. Thanksgiving. But no, this time And the book talks about pausing, ask God for an intuitive thought or whatever. And my intuitive thought was, let me hear what she's saying without being defensive. And so I went back inside and she was a little bit salty at me because that's what women do. Just kidding. But she loved me. Like, she didn't hold any resentment. She just knew that I was coming from a place of defensiveness and she gave me some advice about this. About God and pray to my God and like God has brought me this far and it was just amazing, right? And so it's pretty cool to walk this journey with somebody who's seeking the God thing. Like, she has her own God, I have my own God. We have our own programs, whatever. So I don't want to sit up here and just babble about, you know, God, because I'm going to, as my journey up here goes along, I'm going to show you how God has transformed my life. And when I say transformed, he hasn't given my old life back. Like, you hear people say that, and it just irks me to no end. Like, I want my old life back, God. Why? You know what I mean? Why would I want my old life back? I was 35 when I got here, a bum, no money, no driver's license. My word meant nothing, you know. A man, no integrity, nothing. Like, I wouldn't be doing this if I was living my old life back. You know what I mean? But he has come into my life and has done things that, you know, supernatural. When I say supernatural, like, I don't talk the same. I don't act the same. The obsession's been removed. Imagine that. Like, in that airport, you know, he removed that obsession right then and there. I don't find it necessary to have a drink. It doesn't, the thought doesn't come. Am I cured of alcoholism? No, I'm not. I still have the allergy of the body. But the thought's been gone. And no human power could have done that. I know that. He keeps me safe and protected. Like the page 25, we go to this meeting on Friday night, and their meeting is called The Central Fact. Like, that, that's the name of their meeting. That's how big God is to them. Like, they name their meeting after The Central Fact. And if you don't know what The Central Fact is, it's on page 25. See, Bill put all this stuff in the beginning. That's what boggles my mind, too. Like, Bill, writing this book, this is how you know it's God-inspired, because he put all this stuff in the beginning of the book. You know what I mean? He didn't wait till the end to get to the God thing. He just put it right there in the front. So this is their home. This is... And my friend Aaron read it. Says, there's a solution. Right? So if you're new and he's giving it to you like this in the beginning, like, again, I don't want to hear this crap about God and all that. Tell me how to do this the easiest pathway. 90 and 90, you know what I mean? Like, give me a pill or something to take where I don't have to drink again. But no, it says there's a solution. Almost none of us like the self-searching, which is your fourth step. The leveling of our pride, 6 and 7. And confessions of our shortcomings. Step 5, which the process requires for successful consummation. Like, there's work to be done. So anytime your sponsor or you have a sponsor telling you, just don't drink and go to meetings and we'll get to it. Run, please. Call me, I'll get you hooked up with somebody. But we saw that it really worked in others, and we had to come to believe in a hopelessness to futility of life that we had been living. When therefore we were approached by those whom the problem had been solved, for me that was Joe and John Williams, there was nothing left but for us to pick up with the simple kit of spiritual tools laid at our feet. This right here, given who I was when I got here, given that last 72 hours in that hotel room, we have found much of heaven, and we've been rocketed into a fourth dimension of existence, which we had never even dreamed of. Right? Again, it's not talking about a car, a job, none of that crap. The great fact is just this and nothing less, that we have had deep and effective spiritual experiences, which have revolutionized our whole attitude toward life, toward our fellows, and towards God's universe. Here's Linda's home group. The central fact of their lives today is the absolute certainty that our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. He has commenced to accomplish those things for us which we could have never done by ourselves. So if you're serious alcoholic as I was, we believe there's no middle-of-the-road solution. There's no sugarcoating it. Either God is or He isn't. What's your choice to be? And you don't have to believe. If you don't like what I'm saying, if you don't believe what I'm saying, that's okay. Come see me next week, because I didn't go to the bank today, and I'll give you $20. Go try some more controlled, whatever it is you do. But if you're serious about this deal and you're done feeling the way you felt when you got here, you will get on this journey and seek a spiritual solution like your life depended on it. And thanks for letting me share.
Good job. No.